the 58104's fastest growing podcast. It's the legend. And the loudmouth.
You're looking at me funny.
How's that all playing the same?
Because the band's name is the Presidents of the United States of America. And it's President's Day. It's time! Anywhere you are, by whatever method you are listening and socially distancing, we thank you for choosing this podcast and exposing the lack of knowledge of my son of alternative rock from the 90s.
I always have that.
I figured you might. Anyway, President's Day, Presidents of the United States of America. No? Okay, I already played Hail to the Chief for the inauguration, so gotta go with something different here. All right, so here we go. Lump doesn't have any particular, unless you're talking about Western Illinois football, which is pretty much lump. That's a lump in every sense of the word. Today we start with the Missouri Valley Football Conference breakdown. We've already done the Bison last week, so we're going to move into the rest of the conference. And then a little bit at the end, an interesting weekend in Bison basketball, even though they didn't even play. And then before we start, though, Daytona 500 went into like 11:15 last night, so we're watching it, and this Michael McDowell guy wins. And I'm like, wow, that's
who are you?
Yeah, that was quite a race. And I'm not, you know, we're not turn left guys and gearheads here, but it was pretty interesting.
He's
going to
get a run on it.
I tell you what, man, and I know I listed like Mike Emmerich as one of my favorite announcers in non-traditional sport kind of thing. Yeah. Mike Joy does a really nice
job.
He's really good, but Larry McReynolds is my favorite guy because no, that's a mandatory part, Mike. I can take that out. It's fantastic. Listening to Larry McGrath, I could listen to him and read the phone book. It's that good. So, now when the carburetor come out, you got to make sure that you only got 6 minutes to work on the car. It's phenomenal. He is like everything NASCAR should be.
I think it's Jeff Gordon do it.
He's Indiana guy.
And then Clint Boyer's like, why are you here?
Clint Boyer's like, man, I don't know what in the hell I'm doing up here. You know, it's just...
Oh, yeah, but he has a Super 6. He's like
right, he's got Terry Bradshaw money, apparently, yeah.
He can win 10 grand. Not 100 grand, just 10
Right, because NASCAR apparently isn't as big a deal.
A little tight on the money.
So, anyway, tonight, Missouri Valley football.
Yeah, Missouri football is very forgettable.
So. There will be several teams we will spend more time on than others. Heads up in Macomb, yours isn't one of them that we'll be spending a lot of time on. And then Thursday, we will preview a whole bunch of stuff. We got first weekend of Valley football. We got Bison Youngstown. We've got Bison South Dakota State basketball. It's going to be a real slobber knocker of
one
weekend.
Hell of a weekend.
It's going to be one hell of a weekend and Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. But tonight, it's the Missouri Valley. Now, let's review the preseason media poll by those who are supposedly in the know on this sort of thing. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Preseason media poll. Missouri Valley 2021. No shock, the Bison are number one. 101 points. Number two, Northern Iowa.
Overrated.
Number two, Northern Iowa, 92 points. Followed closely by South Dakota in third.
South Dakota State, you mean?
South Dakota State, sorry. Can't only confuse those two. With 91 points. Illinois State comes in four with 80. Southern Illinois, so ill, my favorite abbreviation, comes in five. USD at six, 52 points. And then there's a pretty big drop-off to the Fighting Squawks at number 7, UND at 39, Youngstown at number 8 at 36, and then a tie for 9th and 10th, which is Missouri State and Western Illinois. Missouri State got the higher placement vote, apparently, so they are the 9.
Yay!
And our friends from Macomb, the COVID-infested Macomb, 10. So,
and no Indiana State.
They have opted out of football for basically the last 30 years anyway, so they may as well have opted out for this one.
But they bless us with Robert Tonyan.
Right. So they have the Robert Tonyan is the only...
Tonyan.
It's Tonyan. Tonyan. What did I say?
Tonyan.
Oh, so what? Okay.
It's Tonyan.
Whatever. It doesn't matter. Now, let's take a look as we go here. We're going to go... I, of course, have played out the entire Valley schedule.
Of course you did.
To get my top teams and rankings and everything else. But when I look at this preseason poll, it's pretty well in line with what I have, the media poll. Now, I played out every game, and here's what I came up with. Should we do the teams first before we get to the rankings? Teams first. Okay, let's go to the teams. We're obviously not going to do NDSU. We did enough of them last week. So we'll be talking about them all year. Let's talk about Skeletor's boys from UNI.
Okay.
You have this real distaste for UNI, don't you, when it comes to...
Because every year, the start of the season, they're 1-4 to start every season. How? I don't know how they do it, but there's like one FBS school mixed in there. They lose a couple non-conference games they shouldn't lose, and they're 1-4. This year with the Valley only schedule, they're probably going to start out pretty hot. And that includes staying at home and playing South Dakota State and winning.
And coached by this man. Skeletor, for those of you don't recognize him.
You do it.
Skeletor, in charge of the Northern Iowa Panther roster. Anyway, I didn't mean to interrupt.
No, I was done.
So UNI this year can't obviously start out with a crap record because... Well,
number 3 in your conference right at the start of the season.
So let's take a look at UNI's season last year. They were 6-2 in the Valley, and they were 10-5 overall.
Okay.
They lost in triple overtime in that epic battle with Iowa State. Lost to Weber, so you give them credit for going on the road and playing a pretty good team. Weber, who wound up making the semis, right? And then, so they got off to their usual, like you said, 2-2 start.
Yeah.
Lost to the Bison and got creamed.
Yeah, they got crushed.
The second half was ugly in every sense of the word. It was actually a pretty good game at the half. It was 18-14. UNI was making some noise, and then the Bison ripped off 28 in the second. By the way, the Bison again with the middle finger 2-point conversion at the beginning of the game of that, which I love. Took a 15-0 lead, and then UNI came back to make it close. But the second half was just a slaughter.
Yep.
So not a very good effort there. Then they went on the road and just got hammered by South Dakota State, 38-7. And we're all kind of wondering again, what kind of Northern Iowa team are we going to see here? But then they go and they beat our boys from San Diego, 17-3, taking the Bison's place as the whipping boy for San Diego every time. And then they go to Brookings and win.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a surprise. And then they went on the road and absolutely got withered away by JMU in the quarterfinal. You and I had as many yards rushing that day as Northern Iowa did. Zero. And only 114 yards of total offense. Will McElvain looked completely out of his league up there. biggest question for them is they have lost a ton.
Mm-hmm.
Ellerson Smith Jr. III, their big defensive end, gone.
Oh.
Spencer Brown, gone. Xavier Williams, gone. Chris Kolarich, gone. Nick Ellis, their stud offensive lineman, is not going to play. But they do return Isaiah Weston, who's probably the best receiver, not named Christian Watson, in the Valley. Mm-hmm. And then Will McElvain comes back for his sophomore year. Now, I wasn't too impressed with McElvain, but he is a preseason all-conference pick.
Oh, for God's sakes.
And their defensive people coming back pretty good. Jared Brinkman on the defensive line. Bryce Flatten is that linebacker. And Omar Brown in the secondary. Those are the names you're going to want to know. Grant, this is a team that you know is going to be there, but how are they going to be there?
I'm not going to say we'll make Will McElwain a game manager, but he's probably going to have to. He doesn't scream to me, I can take a team down the field and win a game. I mean, does he to you? He just doesn't to me. He has to play better. That's just the main thing.
I don't think Will McElvain, as far as being a pure passer,
mm-hmm.
is a real solid, like, he's going to go out and beat you. Mm-hmm. I think he's a little bit, he can get banged up, and mm-hmm. I think he is going to get banged up.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think he's an elite level quarterback in this league yet. He might get there, but I don't think he is now.
Why is he an old conference? Why is a preseason old conference?
Well, frankly, if you look at the quarterbacks that are in the starting roles, I mean, we assume Jabari Gibbs is going to start, and we'll get to all these, but you're not going to put him on the preseason All-America team. You can't put Zeb Nolan there. He just hasn't been doing it enough. Bryce Jefferson sure as hell isn't going to be there. No question about that. It's not going to be the kid from Southern Illinois, Lyles. It isn't going to be the kid from USD, who's coming in for Austin Simmons. It isn't going to be Tommy Schuster from UND. And it isn't going to be Joe Craycraft from Youngstown. And it's not going to be Jaden Johnson from Missouri State or Connor Sampson from Western Illinois. Honestly, he's about the only one you could put in there.
I put Jabari in there.
Jabari is the honorable mention.
Oh, good Lord. Flip those around.
So, well, but again, Stiglmeyer is playing it very close to the vest on who he's going to start. He has not announced a starter for Friday.
It's Jabari.
By the way, it's UNISDSU week one. We'll get to that.
He'll start Jabari.
But anyway, let's get back to UNI.
Okay.
So, Isaiah Weston is Christian Watson level good. Maybe.
Okay.
He's the biggest threat they have on offense.
That's true.
Biggest worry I have for UNI, outside of their usual swoons, I don't think they have a dominant running back.
Nope.
And they're pinning their hopes on a guy by the name of Dom Williams, who is a Kansas transfer. A four-star guy who couldn't hack it at Kansas.
Kansas.
The worst Division I football team
ever.
Power 5 level.
Ever.
But he's going to be probably the dude because the next leading rusher is McIlvain. Mm. You've got guys like Tyler Hoosman, Sam Schnee, McCabe, none of these guys you've ever heard of. That's your running back core. And
that's bad.
I think Northern Iowa is going to struggle to move the football on the ground. And in this league, you can't do that. It'll be good enough to beat most of the teams in this league.
If anybody has a good run defense, though, you're going to stop them. I mean, JMU is a perfect example. They couldn't do shit against
zero.
Them. Yeah, they couldn't zero do yards. Shit against James Madison. Right.
Now, I'm not saying the Bison are going to be JMU-level defensive line.
No, but the Bison they're similar, though. And they're a good rush defense. You're not running on the Bison. You're not running on JMU. They have to be able to stretch the they have to stretch the ball downfield. You got to get the ball to Weston more often than you might think. But defenses just start rotating the safeties over. He's going to be doubled. You got to find that other receiver, and they don't have it.
If I'm playing UNI, I'm going to make them beat me with some other than Weston.
Just roll the safety.
And either it's McIlvain with his legs, or one of those running backs is going to have a hot hand.
Mm-hmm.
I just have a tough time thinking that on 3rd and 3, 3rd and 4, that they are going to be in prime position to beat me. Mm-hmm. And I would be surprised if that was the case.
Mm-hmm.
So, now, that being said, I'm not opposed to picking UNI to win a whole bunch of games.
No.
I just think that overall, UNI probably has the resume and the team to make the playoffs.
They always do.
I'm not, but they'll probably win an opening round game, and they're probably a quarterfinal level team or a semifinal level team if the bracket breaks right.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think they're any better than that.
No.
But what they showed here doesn't give me just this intense excitement for UNI.
Yeah, but the way the UNI is, I'll know what they're like Friday night when they play South Dakota State. I mean, this will tell me if the South Dakota State and UNI can challenge NDSU for a conference cycle. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just, if one team blows the other out, well, then the other one ain't going to be a factor. But if it's a close game, you're like, well, they got a shot.
UNI special teams are also very good. Their kicker, Matthew Cook, kicking in the garage door is pretty good. So they have a lot of good elements to them. And I think they will finish second in the conference. We'll get your rundown here later as we go through all these. All right. Let's move to Brookings and South Dakota State. 5-3 last year. 8-5. Oh, I should have played the Jack Attack. Right? I don't think I can stand playing that song very long. John Stiglmeyer with it in his 913th consecutive year as
Holy
head coach.
Holy nutmeg, why are you still there?
Rough end for South Dakota State last year, losing 3 out of their last 4. if you could remember that far back, they actually lost to the Gophers and probably should have beaten
the Gophers.
The way things were going. Lost that obviously critical game at home to the NDSU and Adam Cofield.
They should have won that game 9 times out of 10, but you can't throw a pick on 3rd and 8 in the red zone.
But also Jabari Gibbs got hurt, which was a big key, and they had to go to Keaton Heidi. And
then they go to the other kid. They went to Cannon Nelson, then they went to
Heidi. And I think this year it's Gibbs' job, I think, to lose, but I wouldn't be surprised to see Heidi get playing time.
Mm-hmm.
They lost a couple of games at home that were just kind of head-scratchers, too. They lost to Illinois State. Now, again, that's the James Robinson factor, which we'll get to next. But then they went out and lost to USD.
Mm.
And you can't
lose to USD.
And I don't think they had it, and I don't remember what the streak was.
Yeah.
But that obviously didn't put them in a real good place at the end of the year. And then they went out, had a 10-0 lead on UNI, and choked it away in the playoff game. So UNI winds up winning that. Obviously, the biggest loss there, Kay Johnson is no longer there.
Bye.
CJ Wilson has gone into the transfer portal.
Bye.
So he's out. And then, so it leads me to wonder what's next for these guys. And Gibbs is a preseason, like I said, honorable mention. Pierre Strong Jr. III, preseason All-American or preseason conference running back. They don't have a lot of depth behind Strong.
They're the biggest. They're always a question mark at something, and that question mark at something is what cost them the game.
Backup running back is their biggest question this year.
Mikey Daniels still there?
No, Devin Blakely is the guy that probably gets the job and the backup job. Their line is really good. Egan Lickus, Edward Miller, Aaron Johnson, Wes Garant. They're all. It's a good offensive line. Jackson Janke is their return guy. He's going to be their kind of spark guy. He's also all-conference return specialist preseason. Defense is good. They've got Xavier Ward coming back. Reese Winkleman is the preseason conference. Quentin Hooks, another good defensive end. The Christian Roseboom guy you need to know is Logan Backhaus, who is the is the preseason All-America or preseason conference. 4 interceptions last year. Don Gardner, who I believe had the pick in the Bison game, if I'm not mistaken, right? Off that tip Dimitri Williams disaster. And then Michael Griffin at safety. All these guys, pretty solid defense. I think their defense is pretty good. I wonder a little bit about the offense, though, but if they have Strong.
Do you think they have, like, Adam Anderson still? Or?
No, he's not there. So
I question their offense a lot. They'll have a receiver they can go to. There's always that one receiver that they have that really doesn't annoy you. And they don't have that right now. That's a good thing for the rest of the conference.
I just wonder how Gibbs is going to look. I think it'll go as far as he can take them. Because I think they're going to need to throw the ball. And again, that offense translating into cold weather environments, sometimes I kind of scratch my head about. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure how they're going to look.
Yeah, I don't know how they're going to look either. They're just such a question mark as always, but this year they have a lot more question marks. It's almost like you should be a lot better than what you are, and you're not telling me you're going to be good this year. Like, at least that's who the quarterback is. But I don't know. Let's South Dakota State. They're just confusing.
They are a confusing team, and I don't necessarily know that I'm totally comfortable with how they have this roster put together.
Yeah.
I could see him taking a step back, but I think, as we mentioned here, that first game out of the chute for both UNI and South Dakota State is so huge.
Oh, it's absolutely, it's massive.
Because the loser is 0-1 in a condensed season where 2 losses and you might be out. And South Dakota State has to come to Fargo.
Mm-hmm.
Now, at least UNI's got them, A, at home, and B, at the end of the season.
Mm-hmm.
So UNI may be able to go into that game saying, hey, we don't necessarily have to win. But if you're talking about the 3 games in the year of the Valley, they're NDSU versus each one of these teams, mm-hmm. and this one Friday night to open the season at UNI at the garage door.
These games are massive, and if you're UNI, winning this game is big because, it, like you said,
who's it more important for, UNI or SDSU to win this?
More important, I would probably say South Dakota State, because you can go with against the Bison and feel confident. Okay, we beat UNI. It's got to get by someone from Fargo. So, just get UNI out of the way. If you're UNI and you lose, you're going to be facing an NDSU team that's probably going to be red hot, and you're going to have to find a way to stop a probably red hot offense by then. So, if you're South Dakota State, or any one of these teams, winning this game is massive.
I think the game is more critical for South Dakota State in every sense of the word.
Yep.
I think if I'm UNI, I can say, hey, I've got NDSU coming to our place.
Yeah.
That's as good a chance as we're going to get to beat them. That's where we've beaten them before. I think they're going to be the ones that play with the most intensity against NDSU at that location. On the other hand, South Dakota State, to me, it seems like the type of game they just don't play well in. And whether that's fair or not, I don't like them going on the road and having to beat a team like that in that environment.
Yeah.
Playing in the Unidump is much different than playing in Fargo.
Yeah.
And it's also now a situation also where the only drawback now that UNI has is they won't have a full stadium. And that place can get loud.
It can.
And certainly the Fargo Dome won't be very loud.
Right, but it's still 9,000 people.
Right, as opposed to 2,000, which or whatever they're going to get in the garage door in Cedar Falls, I don't know. But I think that game is tremendously important, like you said, for the Valley opener and to see who takes kind of the early... we assume the Bison are going to win, so the early conference edge leg up is really going to be important. Mm-hmm. Let's move to Illinois State. Who
big question mark.
5-3 last year in the Valley. They were 10-5 overall. The stash, Brack's back. You know, they had a pretty good year, all things considered, what happened to them. They lost to Northern Illinois. The Bison absolutely destroyed them out of Normal. They lost to Youngstown, which was a really, really bad loss. Only put up 3 points against Youngstown, and we saw what the Bison did to that defense last year. UNI handled them pretty soundly. And then, of course, they came up to Fargo.
That was 9-3.
And it was 9-3. Now, this is after they beat SEMO, who was a pretty decent team last year, Southeast Missouri, and Central Arkansas, who we saw here in October. And so they made it to the quarters and, of course, played the field goal festival with the entire offense basically being run the ball.
James Robinson right, James Robinson left.
And after the NDSU won 3 field goals to 1, 9-3. And James Robinson being gone is such a huge part of this offense. They have very little on the offensive side that I get excited
about. Who's
their quarterback? It's going to be Bryce Jefferson,
okay,
who presumably has learned to throw a forward pass since we last saw him. Their All-American up on the line is Drew Himmelman. He will be the road grader for whoever they have running the ball. And I don't know who that's going to be. Their all-conference fullback, Tim McCloy, will block for him. But I don't know who's going to be running the ball.
Oh, he's going to catch the ball.
There's nobody there. Their best receiver coming back. They've got a few. Andrew Edgar, who was had a nice deep day against the Bison because they had to throw. You've got Braxton Haney, Casper Rakitovich. None of those guys get me real excited.
No.
Defensively, of course, I've got the massive human being, John Ridgeway, the defensive lineman.
Just run around here.
Zeke Vanderbush, the linebacker. Charles Woods is the safety. Played really well last year. Their defense is obviously pretty solid. But again, I don't know how they're going to score.
Yeah. I mean, field goals? I mean, just get to the 30 and kick? Or like, what are they going to do? What can you do against these teams?
Well, I think the fact that they in the three biggest games they probably had, they scored 10 against UNI, 3 against Youngstown, 3 against the Bison twice. I mean, the Bison played them 120 minutes, and they got 2 field goals on the Bison the whole time with James Robinson.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Illinois State to me is, and that's why I wasn't real generous with them in my predictions, which I'll reveal later. I have them being about a 500 team.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Because I think it kind of reflects their team. I think they're half of a team. I think their defense is going to be really good.
Yeah.
I don't think their offense is worth
shit. They're like the Bears.
They kind of are.
They're all on defense, no offense. At least the Bears have a running back.
Yeah, and I don't honestly know who's going to be carrying the mail for Illinois State this whole season. I really don't.
And Jefferson's limitations were pretty obvious last year. I mean, he couldn't throw a forward pass, and he can only run the ball. Like that fourth and eight to keep the drive going, that they didn't get. Like, he throws the check down out of bounds. He couldn't even complete the pass. And it's like, if that's the best they can do in a clutch situation, I don't know what they're going to do this season. There's a lot of close games.
I think in this league especially, if you can't consistently stay on the field, defenses like UNI, the Bison, SD, they're going to wear you down. And unfortunately, for all the good that Illinois State defense does, they can't give up very many points. I mean, they lost by giving up 9 points to one of the best offenses in the country.
Mm-hmm.
You can't do that.
Mm-hmm.
And in games where, like, Youngstown, pretty mediocre team, and we're being generous.
Yeah.
You have 21 points and you have no shot to win. Mm-hmm. None. Because your offense can't move the ball. Now, I'm not saying they're going to go out and only get 3-6 points every time or whatever. But they don't have a lot of demonstrable offensive talent to make me real excited. I honestly thought they'd be lower in the poll than they are in the media poll. But mm-hmm. they are ranked number... By the way, Bison are ranked number one in the Athlon FCS Top 25. UNI is three.
Three?
SDSU is five.
Three.
Illinois State's ranked nine.
Three. They're third.
Yeah.
Are you kidding me?
Well, no.
They're ranked so high every year. I don't get it.
Well,
every year. They're ranked number two in this poll, number two in this poll. Like, and they don't win more than seven games in a
season. And they haven't made it past the quarters in forever,
God
right?
knows how many years.
It's been an eternity.
Yeah, since their title appearance.
Yeah, I mean, it's ridiculous. Because they haven't made it to the semis, have they? No.
They made it to the title game once.
And they made it to the quarters a few times, but NDSU has always been in the way to derail that effort. And then again, JMU was last year. So, yeah, pretty crazy.
I mean, you can rank them as high as you want, but they're not deserving of the top five ranking.
I just don't see a lot of Illinois State's offense to get real excited about. Mm-hmm. The team that everybody's kind of putting in the sleeper, and this is where Grant's going to throw the microphone across the room, is Southern Illinois.
No.
5-3 last year, 7-5 in the Valley. They already have a win this year, by the way. They beat SEMO. They beat Southeast Missouri earlier in the fall. So they are 1-0 heading into the year with Nick Hill, head coach extraordinaire. Last year, they lost to SEMO. Lost to Arkansas State, mm-hmm. another Sun Belt special there. Mm-hmm. Obviously, they lost to South Dakota State and then lost to Illinois State. Did not make the playoffs after their late season loss to the Bison at the end of the year. And we all know that coming back, the key is Javon Williams Jr. III. He's going to be the dude, preseason all-conference running back. They've got Avante Cox, the preseason all-conference wide receiver. And then up front there, but it's a big dude up there, including one of my favorite names, and I'm going to mispronounce, Zevion Furcron. Zevion, that's a great name. He is their big dude at guard. And he was all-conference as well, preseason selection. Kane Lyles is the quarterback. There's a Kane, I don't even know, but Lyles. He was the guy that did his best Brady Jefferson impersonation last year. Sergeant Lyles. The defense is good, even with Jeremy Chin leaving. They've got Anthony Knighton at defensive end, Michael Calhoun at linebacker, Qua Brown at safety. They've got a nice group on defense. But, man, that quarterback... And then Williams played some, you know, I don't know what you want to call it,
Wild Saluki,
Wild Dog quarterback, whatever.
Wild Egyptian, I don't know.
Yeah. And then they've got a guy named Rainier Elliott who ran the ball pretty well for him here in this game against SEMO. Grant, I think they're dangerous. I'm just not sure how dangerous.
No, I don't worry about them mainly because I watched the game last year. I'm thinking, yeah, they stopped them for the most part. But the Bison still got him on the ground. I mean, they had two really long touchdown runs in that game.
To your point, the game they played in October against SEMO, they gave up 300 yards on the ground to SEMO.
On the ground to an Ohio Valley school.
They rushed for 275 themselves. Cox had a bunch of catches. But Lyles was not very good. He was 15-27, one touchdown, two picks. Pretty meh. And Southern may be able to grind out a few wins. Now, they open against UND. I think UND is in deep shit.
Oh, they are.
Against a running back like that. You got to think that UND hasn't seen any running backs like him in the Big Sky. No way in the Big Fluffy would you find a running back that looks like that. I mean, honestly, if you look at what UND has built their defense on the last few years,
it's stopping off.
They ain't no way they're stopping the Williams kid. I think he could be in line. Honestly, if I'm Southern Illinois, I'm going to pound him until they stop him.
The Big Fluffy.
Oh, you've never heard of the Big Fluffy before? Oh, God. The Big Fluffy has been around forever. So I have issues with them as far as the running game is concerned, or the airing it out. The other problem they have is the schedule is not particularly is kind to them in the fact that all these teams are coming to Carbondale. The Bison are going there. South Dakota State is going there. And I believe UNI does not play them, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, that's a bunch of
so I think they've got the... I'm just checking my notes here to make sure. I don't think UNI... Oh, yeah, they do. Actually, they do. The issue is all these games are in the first part of the season. They've got to go NDSU. So they open with UND, then they go NDSU, Youngstown, UNI, SDSU. Mm. That's a hell of a start.
Yeah.
To your season. They literally could be, and we're assuming NDSU is going to beat them, they could lose three conference games right out of the chute.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't know how, again, I don't know what to make of UND. We'll get to them in a little bit.
But if you're Southern Illinois, if you win one of those games against the Bison, the Jacks, or UNI, that might get you in. It might. You
got to win the rest, though.
Yeah.
And I think they need to win two out of those three for sure.
Yeah, because they were left on the doorstep last year in the playoffs. They were left out. I think they're one of the first team out.
And I don't know what 7-5 equivalent is this year, but I think it's probably about 6-2.
Yeah.
Now, again, they have a win over the team that's likely going to win the Ohio Valley, or at least is going to be in contention for it. It's a big feather in their cap already. So even if they go and lose two, if they go 6-2 in the Valley with a win like that, how do you keep a 7-2 Southern Illinois team out? Because that'll mean they've had to at least beaten one of them.
Mm-hmm.
And, again, who knows? But I wouldn't want to be a Southern team and have to face a Javon Williams Jr. in a playoff game. No way.
Yeah, but just my concern is Javon Williams, because it's like you can only run him so many times when the defense starts to figure it out. They're going to stack the box. They're going to make Sergeant Lyles throw the football.
And I think that's the way to do it.
I don't think they can throw the football. I mean, they have a all-conference receiver if they can get the ball to him.
I think 8-in-a-box for some of these teams is going to be the way they go, and they're just going to say, throw it and run it and beat us with somebody else. I think that's really what you come down to with 7-0.
Anyone but Williams is looking. At least the Bison have multiple different backs they can use for different situations. They only have one guy. Just one guy, and they still scored 7 points, but in that game last year, then you guys see they stopped them on the goal line. And if you're that big, that strong, that fast, you would think you could get one beeping yard. But I mean, you shrivel up in a big moment. And he has to find the end zone. That even though it was only 2 minutes left, they didn't win anyway. You got to get a big stop. You got to get a big moment in there and win that game.
To me, Southern Illinois is the last of the teams with a realistic playoff chance in the conference. When you go NDSU, UNI, SDSU are the three main ones. You got Illinois State and Southern Illinois, clearly the second tier. And then you drop down to the third tier, and I think now is when it starts to get ugh. Not so much, I think, ugh with USD. We're about a middle-of-the-road team.
Yeah.
Last year, Bob Nielsen's crew went out. They went to Montana, didn't play very well. They got destroyed by Oklahoma.
Why'd they go to Oklahoma?
Well, it's all about the money. Houston Baptist in that 53-52 shootout they had with them, and I can't remember the kid's name.
Baby's happy.
Yeah, from Houston Baptist. Lost to UNI, Southern Illinois. Bad loss. Their only win of the year that Western Illinois got was against the Yotes, but yet they came back and beat the Rabbits 24-21, and for all practical purposes, with now they've run through Chris Trevler and Austin Simmons are both gone, so I think it's Tyler Tasagalis that's going to be the quarterback. You've never heard of him, neither have I, but they're going to go as far as Kai Henry takes him, who's in his 93rd straight year of eligibility at running back.
Running back.
Kai Henry, yeah. is the only credible offensive threat they have left. Caleb Van Der Esch is the preseason all-conference and wide receiver. Their tight end, Brett Sampson, is going to be a factor. He's the preseason all-conference tight end ahead of Josh Babich.
Are you kidding me?
With 26 catches last
year. Are you
year,
kidding me?
Five touchdowns. Van Der Esch, by the way, 45 catches for 651 and six touchdowns. Pretty good. They will run behind Mason Scheidegger, who is the big offensive right guard. On the back end of the defense, Jack Cochran is the preseason all-conference player there. And they might have the best special teams in the Valley. Mason Lorber is their kicker. He was preseason all-conference. Dalton Godfrey, the second long snapper in the league behind our good buddy Ross Kennelly.
Yeah.
And Brady Shutt, is the punter. So they have preseason all-conference at all three special teams positions. Could get him a game or two.
And a bunch of that just sounds like a three-win team.
Yeah.
Like, it's just, you've got all conference guys everywhere, but you only can win three.
Well, games. I don't know about everywhere, but I think the problem they're going to have is
the tight end, the receiver, the running back, the linebacker. You still win three conference games.
But you still have, you have a new quarterback, and that's, to me, where the issue is going to lie, that their quarterback play is going to have to, Simmons was a really good quarterback. Streveler was fantastic. They don't have anybody but that vein.
And they don't have, you can't just plug in a Zeb Nolan like the Bison can. They got to find somebody else. And it's hard for teams like South Dakota to find a good quarterback.
Yeah, it's going to be tough. Plus, recruiting to go there is going to be...
You're battling the Jacks and the Bison in South Dakota.
Right.
There's no UND ain't recruiting in that area.
Speaking of, it was announced today that Tommy Schuster will be the starter for the opener against Southern Illinois.
Oh, good Lord.
Last year, UND playing that quasi-independent schedule. The Bison blew them out. They lost. They were reasonably competitive against Eastern Washington and lost. They got blown out by Idaho State.
Yikes.
And then they were pretty... The best game they probably played all year was they hung with Weber. And almost beat him out in Weber, which was a heck of an accomplishment for that team. And then they went to Nichols and just got dominated.
Yeah.
And they couldn't move the ball. And, of course, we saw what, of course, the Bison did against Nichols, eventually kind of running them over. But, man, UND was just awful on offense that day. And that was the day that, the quarterback, I'm blanking on his name. Who was UND's quarterback last year? And he had kind of a Ketteringham.
Yeah.
Kind of a meltdown during the game, and it was ugly, and they just couldn't score.
And yet they gave their coach a 3-year extension. So good job, Bubba.
And when I look at their offense and their defense that's coming back,
it's pathetic.
It's not good. Yeah. I mean, Schuster is unproven, to say the least.
That's
Dalton G is going to be probably the primary running back because now you have no more Johannesson. He's gone. Wanzik's gone, so your best receiver's out. So it's Garrett and then Brock Boltman is the other one who will play, the Detroit Lakes kid. The only three preseason all-conference players they had, Ryan Tobin at left guard, so you can bet they'll run off to the left side a lot. Jackson Turner at linebacker, and Jordan Cannady is the defensive back. I just don't know if they're going to be able to score any points. And you've seen what the Bison have done to them the past few 37 years.
37 to 13.
They're just not close. They're not competitive games.
Never are. Never will be.
Schuster, and this will be the first time Schuster's going to have to go up against this full-tilt Bison defense. Mm-hmm. I don't think that's looking real promising right now for UND. And, of course, they have to come up to Fargo again.
Yeah. Because they're part of the contract end of the Valley. They got to get sacrificed twice.
Yeah, so they're going to... So again, it's the third time in a row they've had to play in Fargo, and I'm sure it's going to go the other two.
We go up to their hockey arena.
I just don't see how UND in the Valley is going to get more than a few wins. They're going to beat the bottom feeders, but I don't think they're going to be close to competing with the top five teams.
No. They might put a fight against Southern Illinois, but that's a big maybe. They're just a blowout. In the Valley, you gotta be better. You gotta be better. Just get to if you're a top five team in the Valley, it's not bad, but they're not there yet. Just not there yet.
I'm not sure that they're going to get there this year, or even next year with the talent they have coming back. I'm not real optimistic. Let's put it that way. And then Youngstown. We'll spend more time on Youngstown on Thursday when we preview. But man, Doug Phillips has got a tough, tough assignment here coming in, replacing Bo Pelini. Phillips is a guy who was on Jim Tressel's staff at Youngstown back in the heyday. They started off 4-0 last year.
Beating nobody.
And they made it all the way, and then came the the beatdowns by UNI, SDSU, Southern Illinois. The Bison had them down 35-0 before they even showed up. And then
stayed out and kick return.
Youngstown had the temerity to score, to which Kobe Johnson just went the other way. It's 42-7, and I don't know, it was like 56-14 or whatever the final was.
It's an appalling story.
Just an absolute beatdown of epic proportions. Not much, and listening to the chatter today, I don't think anybody knows a lot of what we're going to see on Sunday when they come in. And again, we'll talk about it more on the Thursday show. But I don't know if Joe Craycraft is going to be the starter. I don't really know what they've got coming back other than a few. They've got Dan Becker, they've got offensive linemen. On defense, DeMarco Craig is the name you'll hear, defensive tackle. Jake Coates is their return specialist.
And that's about it.
Pretty much all they've got. A lot of their guys that they had for years. Who was the run? Oh, I can't remember his name now. The running back they had like for 100 years there. He's gone.
Yeah.
He's been gone for a while.
I can picture him right now.
I mean, seriously, he had like 80 years of eligibility.
Yeah, and I can't think of his name.
Christian Turner is the guy that's probably going to get most of the carries now, but I may have to look that one up here.
I remember their tight end Kevin Rader more than I remember him.
Yeah. Is he the guy that caught the ball off the back of... That's pretty good. Who is that guy? I'm going to look him up here. It's going to drive me nuts.
I can see him right now.
Can't think of his name. Let's see here. Keep talking here while we... But Youngstown, I mean, overall, without Pelini, it's going to be a tough
sledding. I'm just like... You were good 30 years ago, but we're not living back in the late 90s. They're just not very good. I mean, there's just... Since Jessel left, they've just been a mediocre sinking ship that they've been.
Isn't it too bad though? I mean, considering what they were once the thing
in FCS football. Now they're just another mediocre team. I can't find a direction. We're a rudderless ship.
Martin Ruiz was the guy that was around like forever.
It wasn't him.
Well, he was one of them.
It wasn't.
But he was on there for forever.
It wasn't him.
Okay, then who was it?
It wasn't him. It was somebody else.
Are you going to give me another answer? Then it wasn't him.
No, I know it wasn't him.
That's not a good enough answer.
I know, but
I mean, let's see. I don't have time to go through the whole Youngstown media guide to find out.
Like Casters? Kevin McCaster or something like that?
Tevin McCaster. That's the guy. Thank you. He was on the roster for 516 years. Yeah, McCaster.
Yeah.
Yes.
It wasn't Martin Ruiz.
But he was there for a long time, too.
Yeah, he did a damn thing when he was there. So
that's a good point. I can't really argue with that logic. Anyway, back to the present Youngstown team. at least I don't have to hear that damn penguin horn. I bet that's not... People probably pulled over after you just made that noise. That was awful. And now to the two fun teams in the league. Bobby Petrino's Misery State.
This ain't Lamar Jackson, buddy. This is something different.
Their only win last year, a triple overtime thriller over Western Illinois.
Oh, boy.
They are already 0-3 this year.
Oh, God.
They got waxed by Oklahoma again.
Oh, God.
48-0.
Nothing.
And then they went and lost to Central Arkansas, both on their home field and in Conway.
Oh, my God.
So, and both games were close. It was 27-20 in the first game and 33-24 in the second game. And, you know, they hung with Central Arkansas. So, that's fine. The only guy you've ever heard of is Demoria Vick, who is their preseason all-conference wide receiver. Not to be confused with Michael Vick. Zach Sanders is their only defensive back that's any good. They will split probably the starting role. Jaden Johnson, who is a Memphis kid, will be the starting quarterback. Jake Van Dyne is the other quarterback. None of these people you've ever heard of. None of them you'll have to care about. Kalen Latovis is the running back. Again, you've never heard of him, and it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Missouri State's going to be horrible.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to be interesting because they've got to come out, and at least they've got a shot. They get Western Illinois early.
Yeah.
That might be the only team they can beat because they're going to host Illinois State to start the year. Oh, I know, but you know Petrino's just looking to get him in the next 3 years into a playoff that he's into a playoff appearance, so he can bolt for you know, whatever, some Sun Belt school.
Yeah, probably. They're just a disaster. I mean, they've always been a disaster. I mean, they even when they fight against the Bison, they still give up 41 points. I mean, it's just they can't consistently put a good season together.
It's going to be weird not watching Peyton Huselig run the offense, because he's been there for 116 years as well.
Yeah,
as their quarterback, so he's not going to be there. The Bison this year again have to go to Springfield to Plaster Field, still one of my favorite spots.
Go plaster the Bears.
It's going to be ugly. I don't think the Bears.
Let's go plaster.
I think Petrino's in for a wake-up call on that one to find out what the true top.
And his name is Matthew Entz.
Yeah, man.
How many conferences does the Bison have?
How many what?
How many all-conference preseason?
I think it was 8. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I'm counting here as we speak. 6, 7, 8. Yep, 8 all-conference. I'll get to the list here.
Was that the most of any team? Or
yes. So it was Lipke at fullback, Watson at receiver, Babich at tight end, Volson at offensive line, Ross Kennelly at long snapper, Spencer Wagey, Josh Hayes, and Michael Tutsi. Those were the 8.
No backs?
No backs. Nope.
People always sleep on the Bison backs. They just don't know who they are, but of course we do.
He'll get there. Finally, our friends from Macomb.
Go to the country club now, boys. Garden Flight in that pool.
Again, the only victory that they had was in an amazing win over USD. They're a mess. And
that's being kind.
Jared Elliott is the third-year coach. And
I'm going to fire him now.
Bob Nielsen did I think Bob Nielsen did a great job getting this program to the playoffs. But
how we got them to the playoffs is beyond
Sean McGuire not Sean being McGuire. There. McGuire. Connor Sampson is now again the quarterback. They're so bad that their only preseason all-conference player was their punter.
Their punter.
And we don't play Western this year, so which is a shame.
Who gives it?
Yeah, they're going to be completely irrelevant, but it is a shame that we have to pick up Southern.
And couldn't pick up them instead.
And couldn't pick up Western instead, but unfortunately that's not the case. Western's going to be terrible. I don't have them winning a single conference game. I can't in good faith pick them against anybody, because even the team I would pick against in Missouri State, I still think Missouri State's a better team than Western. Yeah. I think they'll come out there and beat them in Macomb. And that's what I think is going to happen on that front. So that's the capsule view of each of the teams. So I went through and played out each game. Again, I know you're shocked by that.
Mm-hmm.
And the conference schedule. Interesting, and we'll go week by week here in a minute. But so this is the way I had it breaking out. I had the Bison at 8-0. I have UNI at 7-1 with their loss to the Bison. I have South Dakota State at 6-2 with losses to NDSU and UNI. I have Southern Illinois State at 4-4. I think Youngstown is going to get to 4-4, and here's why. They go at Missouri State and at Western Illinois. I think they'll beat both of those teams.
Mm-hmm.
They've got UND. I'm sorry, am I boring you?
No.
They've got UND coming to Youngstown.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they'll get USD. I just got a hunch on that one. So I'm going to say Youngstown gets to 4-4, but it wouldn't shock me if they were 2-6. I got UND at 3-5. And the only teams I've got UND beating are Western Illinois, Missouri State, and who else did I have them beating? Western Illinois. I'm looking at my list here again. Oh, and I had them. Yeah, I had them beating USD because it's at the Hilaris. So I think UND will win 3. I think South Dakota wins 2. I think their special teams might get them one more. It wouldn't surprise me to move them up to 3-5. Missouri State's only going to get Western, and Western goes 1-7. And I got Western Illinois going 0-8. I got the Bison making the playoffs, obviously, and I think UNI will get in there too. Is my thought. What do you think?
Do the Jacks get in?
I don't know. They're going to be
so
a borderline.
So it's 16 teams and 12 conference champs.
10.
10.
Yeah. 6 at larges now because the MEAC isn't playing.
Mm-hmm.
So with 6 at larges, the question will be: do you take this year, like normally we talk about taking 5 from the Valley?
Yeah.
I think this year you're talking about 3.
Mm-hmm.
Just scale it down. So what do you think of my top 10?
I think you're pretty accurate. I mean, the only game I would really differ on would be South Dakota State and UNI. But even then,
you think South Dakota State's going to win that
game?
They
could. They very well could.
Are they going to win it or not?
Sure.
But you don't have to predict it now. But
I'm just saying,
my prediction says UNI wins.
The only thing I could differ would be with South Dakota State. I think you're right, Richard.
The first week's games are interesting. Like I said, we've talked about South Dakota State and UNI to death here. Southern Illinois at UND. Illinois State at Missouri State will be interesting. And then Youngstown at NDSU. Western Illinois USD was supposed to be this first week, but because of the conditions in COVID-infested Macomb, they moved that back. So they are... The season runs, for those of you who aren't aware, until April 10th. There'll be football every weekend until that. April 17th is the weekend that the Valley is holding open for makeup COVID games. And so Western Illinois USD, which shouldn't be a playoff factor anyway, will be now pushed back to Saturday the 17th. The playoffs are announced on the 18th. And we'll talk about that more next Thursday. But... So some interesting games right out of there. UND is going to play on a Thursday night in a few weeks. There's one other Friday night game, which is UNI at the Dakota Dome. But there's the one Sunday game, which obviously the Bison have coming up.
Mm-hmm.
But that's your schedule,
yeah,
for the Valley. I think that the Bison will be tested in several of these games.
Yep.
I think... You're probably still not giving enough credit to Southern Illinois for how good I think they're going to be. And I may have underrated them significantly here, even. It wouldn't shock me if they could trip up a UNI or South Dakota State.
No, it wouldn't.
But they have to prove it to me first.
Yeah, I got to see them actually play somebody and just dominate somebody. Because you have to play a full 60 minutes against NDSU. And you have to be able to really control the clock against NDSU. Because, I mean... The Bison, they can play any... You want to score 40 points? Fine. You want to play 17-10 kind of game? Fine. You're going to have to make them make mistakes. That's something the Bison didn't do last year on offense. They didn't turn the ball over. 9 turnovers. And 8 of them were on fumbles. The one interception was thrown by a running back. Okay? They're not going to make mistakes. You're going to play a flawless game to beat NDSU. And even then, you might lose. I mean...
Right.
You really got to play as perfect a game as you can possibly play to beat NDSU.
So when I did out the game picks, game by game, I've actually got almost an even home and road split. Of the Valley games, I've got 22 home wins and 18 away wins, which would seem like a high number until you consider all of the factors that there's not going to be full attendance at most of these stadiums at all. In some cases, you're not going to notice the difference anyway because nobody goes to games in Macomb or Springfield anyway.
Or Normal,
right.
or Southern Illinois.
So that's not... The attendance issue isn't going to be as big for some of these teams.
Only you and I... They only have 2,200 there or something.
The Bison will have by far the most
9,
people.
9,000.
Yeah,
so
with that.
So
ourselves included.
That's more than 200. So, I mean...
let me just give you the Sagarin for the Valley just so you know. NDSU is 49th ranked right now of all Division I teams. SDSU is 84, and that means the Bison would be favored right now by 6 over South Dakota State in a neutral field. Okay, they would be favored by 11 against UNI.
11. Wow.
Actually, 9. I take that
9.
Back. 9.
Okay, that sounds good.
Again, assuming neutral fields. 13 against Illinois State. 18 against Southern Illinois. 19 against USD. 19 over UND, 20 against Youngstown, 29 against Missouri State, and they don't play Western, but they'd be 30-point favorites over Western right now. So, if you're looking for a sneak preview of next week's of the pick, I don't know what the official line is yet, but Bison by 20, and I might take the over if I'm a betting man. But more for that when we get to our Valley picks next week. Grant, anything else on the Valley you want to before we leave that? I think we've kind of covered it.
Yeah, we kind of covered it. You covered it.
So look forward to that. Again, Thursday we will break down the FCS general landscape. We'll make our conference predictions and playoffs and go from there. Should be an interesting Valley season. Let's get to basketball real quick here. Because NDSU couldn't have had a better weekend.
Oh, absolutely. Without even playing a minute in the game.
Weird situation brewing in the Summit.
A developing situation.
It's going to be interesting because I don't know. When I look at the standings now...
The buys are tied for first place.
Yes, and where they didn't even have to play a game to do it, which is the really interesting part.
Second of the game.
So right now, just to give you a recap of what happened over the weekend in case you didn't see it, the Jackrabbits went down to Oral Roberts and split with the Eagles. And UND split again with South Dakota. Or excuse me, I swept South Dakota,
yeah,
breaking their split sequence here.
Again, we're at UND. The tournament is a one-game scenario, not two. They usually lose the first game every single time.
So the Bison now are tied at 9-3 with South Dakota on winning percentage. They are co-leaders in the conference. ORU is one game back at 8-4, but South Dakota State, with that second loss, their winning percentage now is identical. So South Dakota State, South Dakota, and the Bison all have the same winning percentage. But
for the lack of games by
right,
the Jacks.
But the Jacks loss really hurts because they only have four left. They are not going to get to 16 games. And that sets up a really big series this weekend between NDSU and SDSU for basically control of the conference. Now, South Dakota, unfortunately, has drawn for the weekend. They get the misfortune of going and playing now against Oral Roberts. So that's going to be a barn burner, but it is at South Dakota.
Mm-hmm.
So being the game is at Vermilion gives me some effect that they probably split. Although South Dakota did not look very good.
No, they looked awful.
This weekend, did they? From
they
hearing
awful.
What you saw.
I mean, Amudi was a non-factor. Hutzelwhite just knocking shit in. I'm just like...
He's the Steph Curry of the Summit League.
Amos is.
Amos is,
yeah,
but...
Like, what are you talking about? But Hutzelwhite is just like... he's just that annoying white guy. He's just that white guy. He's like Joe Ingles. Look at that shot on my mic. Look at that shot. Lucky I'm getting that one.
I think that the conference championship is, for all practical purposes, going to come down this weekend. Because South Dakota really can't afford to... South Dakota State really cannot afford to lose another game.
No.
Honestly, they can't lose another game.
A split might be deadly for them. I mean, they really got to go out and win two in a row.
Well, again, if you look
Fargo,
at...
Fargo.
Yeah,
not,
they're going to have to win... They have to win at least one in Fargo. Because if they split and go 7-3, you know, a 700 winning percentage, boy, that's going to be tough.
Mm-hmm.
So they really need to sweep... I think as long as ORU can split with South Dakota, that'll do the Bison a world good and set up a heck of an interesting weekend. Because the Bison now, their four games left, they have to go to Vermilion for their last two. So the advantage that the Yotes have is they do not have to go on the road again now this year because they've got their last two sets of games at home. So that is a definite advantage for them. One interesting note about that I looked at and heard some rumblings about is that Noah Friedel, who might be in some disciplinary trouble, and that's why he did not play in the second game of the weekend set.
What was the problem?
Well, apparently in the previous game with South Dakota, he and Stanley Amude have had a few words, and somebody might have gotten kicked in the balls once
Ooh.
Or twice.
Ooh.
And Friedel apparently is not... on the good side of coach right now.
Of Coach Henderson?
Yeah, and it was reported earlier today that might have been why he did not play, and he only had 2 points in the previous game. All is not well in Brookings, Grant,
I
think.
That's always a good thing, right?
So I think it'll be interesting to see if he comes out and plays this weekend, or if, I mean, they're probably worried about some personnel decisions as much as anything else.
Yeah, I mean, I'm struggling to watch with a smile on my face, but it's just like... But you know, tournament time, they lose to someone they shouldn't lose to. I don't know who that's going to be. It might be UND again.
Could be.
It could be UND, but it's just like, because when UND gets hot, they get hot for like one game, because they always somehow manage to split. And they might get the second game, like I bet you had a first strong game against the Jacks. Like, hey, we beat them. Yeah.
Right. Yeah, an interesting Summit League weekend to say the least. Coming up, we'll break down the games a little bit more as we go here into Thursday's preview. But a lot going on. We're gonna be tracking it all, and so our Thursday show is gonna be a lot of discussion about what's gonna happen this weekend coming up. We'll talk on Thursday about the national FCS picture. You know, the JMUs, the Weavers, who's in, who's out. That should be a fun discussion to have, and then preview the Bison's opening battle with Youngstown State, as well as, of course, looking at the Valley, other Valley games, and talking about Week 1 in FCS. It just seems weird to say it that on, you know, the middle of February, and we're talking about FCS football, it just is a crazy, crazy year in every sense of the word. So lots to talk about as we get closer to the end of February, which is going to be here before you know it. And going to do it for us. Hey, get in touch with the show. Our email is legendatloudmouth@gmail.com. That's legendatloudmouth@gmail.com. You can find us on Twitter @legendloudmouth. That's @legendloudmouth. And check out our website, legendatloudmouth.com. That's legendatloudmouth.com. For links to our previous shows in White Coastal Carolina forever and always will suck. Grant, how do we find you?
Follow me on Instagram. It's @GrantLegend1. Follow me on TikTok @GrantLegend. And follow us on Instagram, @Legend_Loudmouth_pod. That's @Legend_Loudmouth_pod. Give us, if you like the show, hate the show, we don't care. Please subscribe to YouTube channel.
All right, previews of the FCS national picture coming up. We'll talk about all the timing of the dates, the playoff picture, 16 teams getting in. It's going to be fun. And we'll talk about Bison basketball, basically the Valley and the Summit League. Previews abound next on our next show on Thursday. Hey, we hope you come along for the ride with us, won't you? It's going to be an exciting couple of months coming up. Stay with us. See you Thursday on The Legend and The Loudmouth.